Brother Nathaniel, good song. Wonderful, wonderful old song to keep in mind in our hearts. Amen. I know he holds my hand. Well, praise the Lord. God is good today. How many of you remember when texting first started? How many of you remember that? You remember that when you got your first text, somebody sent you a text? Well, shortly after that, then they started using abbreviated texts, right? Like LOL. How many of you got an LOL? And the first time you got an LOL, you were like, well, what does that mean? You know? And somebody told you, oh, that means laugh out loud, right? And somebody had to explain that that's what that meant. Well, how many of you seniors go through the same problem? Somebody sends you a text like that, and they abbreviate it, and you think, I have no idea what they just said. And you thought they typed it the wrong way, right? They got the wrong type. Well, I have some abbreviations for senior citizens, okay? Here you go. You get this one that says ATD. That means at the doctor. BTW, that means bring the wheelchair. BFF, best friend fell. BYOT, bring your own teeth. LMDO, laughing my dentures out. Jordan always gets the delayed response. Amen. She got it. LOFCGU. Laughing on the floor and can't get up. FWIW. Forgot where I was. I like this one. Last one. GGPBL. Gotta go. Pacemaker battery low. Amen. How many of you can say, all right, now I got it, all right? Now I got it. Will I get that text? All right, take your Bibles with me this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 21, please. The book of Matthew and chapter 21 in God's Word this morning. In this passage of Scripture, I want to read to you this morning. We find two sons of a man who had a vineyard, and he goes and asks both of them to go and work in his vineyard, and he gets two different responses from his sons. And I want to give you some thoughts on these responses today from God's Word, Matthew chapter 21, and let's begin with verse number 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. Notice, if you have a red letter Bible, these are the exact words of Jesus, what he said. Notice verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, we all need something from you today. We need to hear from heaven today. And Lord, I know today that many times our hearts ache and go through different things. And sometimes we lose sight of you, Lord. And sometimes we just need to refocus our hearts on you. So help us, I pray, in these next few moments, Lord, to just open our hearts to you to gain some strength for our life, to see what you're trying to tell us, that it might speak to us and that it might make us, Lord, a child of yours who loves you with all our hearts. So we pray and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A father went to his two sons in this passage of Scripture. He obviously owned a vineyard and needed some work done in his vineyard. And so he went to his two sons and he asked them simply, "Will you go work in my vineyard?" And notice the first one, what he said. He said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented. And that simply means that he changed his mind. Something changed his mind. And he went. And then the second one, he asked him the same question, "Go work in my vineyard today." And the other one had a different response. He said, "Okay, I'll go." But he never went. Now, I've raised boys. I've raised three boys. And sometimes I've said to my son, "Son, will you take out the trash?" And I get this either one of these two responses, right? It's my brother's turn, right? I really don't want to do it now. And they get to thinking about it because I take the trash and set it on their bed, and they begin to think about it. And these thoughts go through their head. "I think I'll do that. I think I'll take that trash out." When I was a boy, I mean, you know, my generation, we grew up a lot tougher than the generation today, you know. And when I came home one day and I didn't take the trash out, it was sitting on my bed. But the only problem is the trash can leaked. And that was not a blessing. Amen. But my parents didn't coddle me. They said, "Deal with it," right? How many of you grew up in that generation? Or how many of you are keeping that generation today? Is there anyone like that? Good for you. Good for you. But then you get a different response from another son. You say, "Hey, take out the trash." "Sure, I will." And you go back 2 hours later, and the trash is sitting there. Now, I won't mention any names. I won't tell you anything, because if I do, Titus is going to be embarrassed, so I'm not going to mention any names. I won't mention anybody's names. But, amen. He's only taking after his father. That's his excuse, right? That's what he's saying. But, you know, this passage of Scripture reveals some interesting things about our service for the Lord. And some of the things that are in this passage of Scripture, you may not exactly see. But I think what Jesus is saying to us is that sometimes we have to really get a good understanding of our Father's will for us. And I want to show you some things that are in the passage of Scripture for us. The first thing I want you to notice is, see how the first son reacted? Right off the bat, his father said, "I want you to go work on my vineyard." And you know what? I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was playing his Nintendo game or something. Maybe he was wrapped up in something else. Maybe something else had his attention. I don't know. But he said, "No. No." But later on, it changed, didn't it? And notice the change was not his father going back to him. The father didn't go back to him. It was a heart change that came along in his life. It wasn't force. It wasn't pressure. It wasn't a dad demanding that he do that or else a consequence would occur. There was a heart that had to get that God had to get a hold of in order for him to change his mind from saying, I'm not going, to finally he went. And can I say this morning, and this is my first point that I want to give you, is that everyone needs a time in their life when they gain some strength in the Lord. Everybody needs some time in their life when they gain strength in the Lord. I remember growing up in Colorado, Steamboat Springs, Colorado. That's my home. The snow is deep. Snow is wonderful, folks. There's going to be snow in heaven. It's just not going to be on the roads. Amen. I love snow. That's where I grew up. Grew up on a ski hill. I could ski to the ski hill from my house or from where we lived. And my dad was a fireman. He moved out there to start a ski lodge in a business when I was 5 years old. But I'll never forget, went and joined the First Baptist Church there. And our pastor was a godly man, and he fed us the word. He fed us the word. I had no inklings that I would be a pastor. I had no desire, really. No understanding of that. If you'd have come up to me and asked me, are you going to be a preacher? I'd have said, no. Who, me? You're talking to the wrong person. But something happened in my life. We just kept going to church and getting fed the word. And fed and fed and fed and fed. I like that word, fed. Amen. And you get that, you get the word in you, and spiritually, you know, the word is like spiritual food, and when you feed you, you become strong. You become able. You become equipped. And the roadblocks that you didn't think you could hurdle can be hurdled in life as you take in God's strength into you. The Word of God, that food is, it's nourishing. It enables us to be able to crawl out of any spiritual darkness that we find in our life or that Satan ushers into our life. We can climb out of those things when we are fed and the Word is rich in us, and it just keeps making a difference in our life. And you know, it doesn't come like that immediately. It doesn't come overnight, does it? I mean, when I look back at my life, my preacher just faithfully, steadily. And can I say this? Thank God for preachers who just steadily, faithfully give the word, preach the word, so that people can little by little become stronger and grow in their life. And of course, we call that growing. And everybody needs to be in that place. And can I say, never get out of that place. No matter how many years you've been saved, never get to the place where you don't hunger and desire and seek God for something in your life. Jesus makes a promise in Matthew in the Beatitudes, and he says, he that is hungry, I will fill. That's a wonderful promise. How many times I sit down to read the Bible, and I'm an early morning person, and I clean the cobwebs out of my eyes and grab that cup of coffee when I'm not really coherent. But at 5 in the morning, nobody's coherent. Right? My wife thinks I'm crazy for getting up that early. I'm crazy, but maybe not because of that reason. But you know, as I begin to read the Word, something begins to work inside of me. Something begins to really encourage me. It strengthens me. It helps me see life's troubles or problems from a strength position. It takes me from under the clouds, and it puts me above them where the sun is shining, where I can see some things a whole lot better. And I say to you today, everybody needs a time to grow in their life. You know, there was a time when Jesus led the disciples, and you know, you find the four Gospels, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's just feeding them. He's giving them food. He's allowing them to get strong. He's allowing them to get focused. And you know, that's what the Word of God is designed to do. It's not just designed to hit our minds. It's to fill our soul and fill our mind. Amen. It's to give us a direction in life that we couldn't and wouldn't normally understand or follow. And it's a supernatural thing. It's something God does. But it's a demonstration of the power of his word. Because let me tell you something. One verse of scripture is enough to impact us for the rest of our life. It's that powerful. It's that real in our life. And as a 13-year-old boy, one day, the impact of the truth settled on my heart, and I'll never forget getting saved. And I've told you that story before, how I got saved and went to church. And my parents said, I want them to go to a Christian school. See, my parents were growing too. You know, for years, we were kind of, you know, hit and miss church. And we just, and I'm not criticizing folks like that. I'm just saying, that's the way we were. For 25 years, we just kind of floated in our Christianity. But wait a minute. We were getting fed. When we were there at church, boy, we were getting encouraged and strengthened. And God was real in our life. And God was doing some amazing things in our life. And I'm not talking about emotional stuff. I'm talking about spiritual things. Boy, God was doing some good things in us. We needed that time. We needed time to grow in the Lord. Some people take them a long time to grow. Others are like the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. Remember when Paul got saved? He said the first thing he did after he got saved was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I mean, he was ready to serve the Lord right after he got saved. Not everybody's like that. A lot of people are like, Lord, you saved me. Okay, Lord. Now don't scare me with something to tell me to do. Right? Don't scare me, Lord. But let me tell you something. Little by little, as we take the word in, the word of God, and it just fills our soul, it cleans our mind, it changes us from the inside out. That time when we're just soaking the word in. Can I tell you, we need that. We need those times to just let our hearts be drawn to God. And let God speak to our hearts. You know, life is busy. We all have things going on in life. And man, when we get detached from God through busyness, it just seems like things kind of unravel, doesn't it? But when we get with God and either somebody's feeding us or we're getting something from the Word, it begins to make a stronger encouragement. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It just does something inside of us. And what it does is, and this is my second point, what it does and what God intends to do with it. And by the way, you remember in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had died and ascended to heaven, it was his commission to send the disciples forth. And you know what he told them? He said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, just before you go out, hold on. Get a hold of me. get yourself filled and ready to do my work. Can I tell you something? When I'd hear a preacher preach, it would just settle my heart and settle my mind on God. And little by little, these thoughts began to take hold of my mind. Through that is God. What do you want me to do? God, what's my purpose in life? You see, God begins by filling us up with Him. But then at some point in our Christian life, because we're filled up with Him, we want to find out what He wants us to do. It switches, doesn't it? For the good. It switches from I need to, Lord, what do you need me to do? Lord, I'm empty. It switches to, Lord, I'm full. I'm ready. I'm ready to do something for you. It's my time. I'm ready. And you know, the Apostle Paul even said that. I am ready. Again and again, he tells us that he was ready. He was ready to preach the gospel, even to hard places. What made him ready? It was that closeness with God. When he opened his heart with God and God worked in him and he taught him his word. You see, my second point today about this is that once we gain strength from the Lord, then we need to understand the purpose for that strength. You know, the purpose for that strength is not just so we can feel joy and feel happiness. Thank God for it. I'm glad. I'm glad there's joy in the fullness of God. There's joy in the fullness of the Spirit. But that is a byproduct, not an ends to a mean to an ends. The means to the end is that God takes that strength. He gives us a vision to accomplish something. He begins to work in us and change us so that we see differently that there's something that God wants me to do. And that is because that time when we fed on God, man, we were getting full. It's kind of like we were getting our spiritual guns loaded to do something for the Lord. And we didn't even realize it. But when the principles of God are preached and we're taught God is great, God is good, He's mighty, He's with us. And if we walk with Him, we can make it. We can be strong in this life. Those passages of Scripture give us power for life, and they begin to change us. And they begin to say, Lord, I can do something for you. Every great servant of God starts at a weak place. Every great missionary, every great Christian, whoever's done anything, has started with a place, Lord, I can't do this. But they also had a time when God just began to feed them. Have you ever just sat and talked with God for an hour or two? Have you ever got in the woods and gone out in your car and opened your Bible and said, Lord, here I am. And little by little, God begins to take His word and His Spirit, He begins to give you His power. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we run out of empty and we've got to keep that tank full. And you know, I'm to the age where I don't like to get my gas tank in my car down to even a quarter tank. When it gets down to a half, I want to fill it up because my thinking is I may not find a gas station when I need one. Right? Spiritually speaking, God wants us to keep full of Him so that we can recognize, oh, the lights come on one day. This is why you gave me your peace. This is why you saved me. This is why you gave me your joy and fullness of Spirit. This is why you gave, because there's something I can do for you. And that is the whole intent. As we become strong in the Lord and Boy, as we grab a hold of a Bible, you ever grab a hold of a Bible verse and man, it just meant something to the depths of your heart. And boy, that verse may become your life verse and it may just be illuminated to you. It's real to you. God intends for those things to happen in our life. You know why? Because one day he's got a job for us to do. He has a task. He has a purpose. And I'm not talking about a calling, although it may mean a calling for some. But God doesn't call everybody. He has a task, though, for everybody. He has something for you to do. And here's the point of what I'm trying to say is, I think this first son was like that. His dad said, go work in my vineyard. He's like, no. I'm not going to go. But something began to do a change in his mind, didn't it? It wasn't pressure by his father. It wasn't somebody pushing him. It wasn't somebody kicking him. It was this internal thing where he needed to think about it and get fed. And something needed to change inside. And what happened? The next thing his father knew is he looked out in his field and there's the son. He told me he wasn't working in my field. He told me he wasn't going. But there he is. Don't you think an inquisitive father would have probably maybe wanted to go out to his son and say, What changed? What happened? What you said you weren't going, but here you are. And can I tell you something? That is what God desires. In every one of our life. Amen. That is what God desires in every one of our lives. How many remember Peter in the Bible? Remember Peter? Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus looked at him and said, you know when that rooster crows three times? Or when that rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. And sure enough, that's what happened. But something changed in Peter from that. Something made him think. Something made him consider and be reminded of who the Lord really is in his life. And he said, you know what? He repented, didn't he? He had a heart change. Something changed in his life. And he said, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. Can I tell you, I can understand a little bit of this because when I was a boy, the last thing in my mind was a preacher, an astronaut or a fireman, yeah. But a preacher, what is that? I said, might not be too bad because all he does is work 3 hours a week. Might not be too bad. But can I say to you today that God has a purpose in our life and you may have said no to God or you may have had this spirit of not me. But can I tell you something? If you allow God to just feed you and fill you and strengthen you, that is oftentimes what we need to understand that God has a purpose for us in our life. Sometimes I come into church weak, but I leave stronger than when I came in. It's because of the Word of God. It reaches into our soul. It affects us. It changes our heart. It changes our mind for the good. And it makes us understand that the Lord has something for us to do. And it's not necessarily be a preacher or be some great Christian. It's by God working in us. We're reminded in Philippians that it says, it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, there's something in us if somebody comes to you and says, you serve the Lord, you do this. There's something inside of us that says, no. Right? Aren't we all that way? But when God works in us and God melts our heart by his word and by circumstances and by things going on. When God works on the heart, he changes us and he makes his will bright and blessed, such that we wonder, why did I ever say no? I want to do God's will. And I'm here to tell you today, as a preacher, though, as a boy, last thing I considered was serving the Lord. But as the Word of God fed me, I can tell you today, I wouldn't trade what I do for $1 million. Amen. 2 million maybe, but not 1 million. No, I wouldn't trade it for $1 million, because there's joy in my heart because God's given me something in my heart. You know, God can do that for anybody. And all you have to do is be willing. Just open that heart. Say, God, here I am. And he begins to work in us and change us. And that's what happened to this first son. He wasn't ready. He wasn't interested. He was like, forget it. I'm not going to work in that field. But he began to think inside. And God changed him. You know, I want to tell you something. This is the power for those that are wayward in our lives that we love. And perhaps you have a child that's wayward. Perhaps you have a friend that's going against God. And, you know, we so desperately would love to just encourage them in the right way and see them do it. But you know what? And sometimes those things help them, but there's got to be something going on inside of them. There has to be the working of God and the Holy Spirit allowed in their heart in order for that change to occur. Because God doesn't force his way. God doesn't come to everybody and say, all right, you're going to serve me. No. It has to be of a full desire that says, Lord, your will and your way are better. And that is the purpose that we find in life. Lord, your will and your way are all. David Livingston was a missionary, went from England, he went to Africa, and he's known as a pioneer missionary because in the 1800s, he blazed trails and started works among the Africans at the cost of his own life, time and time again, but he wouldn't quit. He wouldn't quit. And one day, David Livingston stood before students at Glasgow University, and after spending years in Africa. And it was the commencement exercises when Livingston spoke. And he said these words, "Shall I tell you what sustained me in my exiled life among strangers whose language I did not understand?" A quiet swept over the students. He said it was this, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You see, what he was saying was, this verse got such a hold of me that I felt I could handle the jungles of Africa. I could handle my life even being at stake, so that I may please the Master, so that I may serve him, so that I might live for him. And it's not something we can work up. It's something that God brings in. We just have to allow it to happen and allow the work of God to work in us. Because when it does, it's God signifying to us that he has a purpose in our life. Somebody once wrote this statement, this poem. It says, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, but now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Once was painful trying, now it's perfect trust. Once a half salvation, but now to the uttermost. once was ceaseless holding, now he holds fast on me. Once was constant drifting, now my anchor shall be. Once was busy planning, now is trustful prayer. Once was anxious caring, now he has the care. Once was what I wanted, but now what Jesus says. And once was constant asking, but now it's ceaseless praise. You see, something happens in our life. And something should happen in our life. And something, this thing should cause us to hunger to have that in our life. Because there's a God who says, go work in my vineyard. And we say, nope, I can't do that. That's not me. But God chose us for a reason. And he chose us to be filled with his grace and his glory and his goodness inside of us. You know, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're commanded. We can do this. And we should do this. Because that is what gives us the sight to see what God wants us to do. And it changes us. If you're here today and you're like, God, I just kind of want to see what's going on with God. There's a lot of people like that. But if you'll just let God, that's all you got to do is let God have an opportunity. God will come in and say, you know what? I've got something good for you, and it's not going to be grievous to you. It will fill you with joy, with purpose, with happiness to do what God wants. And that's how God works. You know those missionaries over in Africa today? They're not downcast or defeated. I'm sure they go through their set of trials, but there is a joy that supplants every trial. There's a peace of knowing they're doing the Father's will. And I'm sure in Scripture, when that young man was out there working in his father's vineyard, he may not have necessarily enjoyed the sweat of the work, but he had this peace inside of him, this happiness that knew he was doing the will of his Father. And I ask you today, do you have that peace? Do you have that peace? You say, preacher, I'm not ready for that. Can I tell you what? Nobody can manufacture it. Nobody can push it. It's God working in you and you allowing God to do that work. And it will give you a heart and a joy for God. How about it? Are you willing to let God do that? He is willing to have you. We have to be willing to have him. You know, salvation is that way. Salvation is this thing that we don't think we need. And God comes to us and says, you need to be saved. You need to trust God. Nobody can force you to be saved. Nobody can force you to have the desire to be saved. Nobody can do that. But when Jesus in his word tells us we are all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior and that we can't get to heaven by good works or being a moral person or a good person, we can't get to heaven that way. Because if we could get to heaven that way, why would Jesus have needed to die on the cross? He did that because there needed to be a payment for our sin. And by dying on the cross and shedding his holy blood, he was saying to us, my blood is the payment for your sins. And if you'll receive me, I will save you and give you a home in heaven. And friend, that's the greatest news that ever we've had. It's not our work to become saved. It's his finished work that allows us to be saved. And all we have to do is open our heart, receive him, and he'll come in and save us. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never trusted Christ. Don't be intimidated by what that may mean or what that may entail. just have an open heart to Christ and say, Lord, I need you as a Savior. Come into my heart and save me. And give me a home in heaven when I die. Hey, when you do that, there's a promise of God. A promise of God. He said, whosoever will, let him come. God won't deny anybody. He will give you a home in heaven if you truly want it. And he'll save you today. Let's bow our heads this morning.